Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. Quick thank you to all the listeners. We just broke our already broken record for July in listenership. You guys are killing it. We're working our asses off to deliver all of this to you. I think it's a pretty good, I don't know if I'm going to use this word correct, symbiotic relationship where we work hard, you guys listen more, you're telling your friends, and the momentum is super real.
I call it synergy, but you can call it whatever you want.
Sure, synergy.
Symbiotic
works.
Is good. He's not a math guy, but a science guy. Yeah.
I'd say mutually beneficial.
I'm a word guy. We're in the big tent. Everybody's here. Pete, Mitch, Tandler. Lot to discuss. Redskins back at it at practice. A decent practice. A little step down from Sunday where we saw some real intensity. But still, some good nuggets to glean from the situation out there. Again, rain and thunderstorms seem to be threatening Richmond. We are talking after the morning practice on Tuesday. Frankly, I don't know that there will be an afternoon practice on Tuesday. The way Jay Gruden talked about it early, I'm not sure there's going to be afternoon practices all week. He said, man, we learn more in meetings than we do in walkthrough. We're going to practice, unless there's lightning, we're going to practice in the rain every morning. And he's like, and we'll see about the rest of it.
Yeah, you know, you can do a walkthrough in a hotel ballroom,
right,
or, you know, local gym or wherever.
The individual defensive position groups were talking about their individual walkthroughs that they do by position, and that's enough for them. That's enough walkthrough for them, you know.
All right, here's what we got happening. I talked with John Allen. You guys are going to like that interview a lot. I asked him what's it like to go against Alex Smith. His answer was pretty great. I also want to talk about some stuff going on Facebook and Twitter. There's a wide receiver roster battle going on, and it's starting to become one of the most intriguing and hotly contentious topic among me talking with other media folks. We're going to give you one thing. That's the plan. I want to start, though, with Chris Thompson. He did 11-on-11s today. I talked to Chris a little bit after practice, and he wasn't sure that he looked good. And I told him, dude, you're really wrong. You looked great. Now, let's be clear. He basically got the QB treatment. Nobody was allowed to hit him. Nobody's really allowed to touch him. But there was one play in particular where they were coming north to south on the practice field. It was a draw. That draw we've seen them run on so many third and 13s that CT picks up. He waited for the play to develop and just exploded through the guard tackle gap. And I told him that. He's like, yeah, you're right. That one run was pretty good. Huh. So I think very encouraging stuff from Chris Thompson. I do think, though, the pain is still an issue and still that fear of getting hit on the leg. RT, what'd you think from 25?
Yeah, he has a plate in there still that he'll have. Eesh. Said he will have it in there for the rest of his playing days. He said he might be able to get it out when he's done.
Does
yeah.
he have to like have the thing to go through metal detectors and stuff? That
I guess.
Card?
I don't know. No, you don't really need a card. Just say I have this. I mean, I just say I have a hip replacement and you know, let me go through.
You have a metal hip?
Yeah, titanium.
Wow, you're like a golf club.
Yeah.
He's right. Richard Fairway.
Cyborg Tandler.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely, the speed is just about back. It's the, you know, it's getting hit. It's having a defender fall on your leg. It's, you know, all those things that are really just going to come probably whenever he gets into a preseason game.
The first guy that falls on a pile with his leg at the bottom is going to be, I mean, can you imagine what that will feel like for Chris? Just the fear and the, because it all happened in seconds,
and
milliseconds.
And then hopefully
probably
some relief after. But I remember when he broke his leg originally, the common thought was, oh, thank God it's a broken leg instead of something torn. But this shows that the broken leg isn't just something that heals up automatically and he comes back good as new. There's still some residual effects as well.
His quickness is back, more so than his speed even. The straight line speed is something, him being able to plant and cut on that foot, that ankle, especially on these fields that were a little wetter today than they've been the past couple days. To me, that was the most impressive part of it.
Agreed. All right. Elsewhere, we saw Morgan Moses back on the field in 11-on-11s. That's good news. We did not see Trent Williams in 11-on-11s. I don't think that really matters.
No, it clearly does not.
Ty Nsekhe not in pads. Thoughts?
I don't know. You know, that injury, week three, he got it, got surgery, came back and played towards the end of the season because they desperately needed him because offensive line were dropping like flies. And, you know, now it's been, you know, another 6-7 months, and it's still not healed. Now, I'm not a doctor, don't know how fast an injury like that should heal. It just seems like a long time to me.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe they're just playing it slow with him too, but the problem there is
he needs to get out there.
He needs
That's
to get out
mean.
There. You know, you'd like to work Christian on the other side maybe, and if there's any hope of the Nsekhe moves to guard.
Yeah, is that totally dead? Is that dead? That's on like CPR or dead.
It's well, of course, what? Say something.
Mitch,
I'm
why
just
do you
saying, I don't
so
think it's
mad.
Dead. You got to I don't get but, so mad about it.
No, you
I'm
look
just saying
mad.
I don't think it's dead.
I don't think it's dead.
He's running out of time to get those reps.
It's not running out of time. There's a lot of time.
All right, here's
Christian
what I think.
Still, Christian, just real quick. Christian's still, what are we, 1 week into camp, six practices in or so? Give
five.
Or take, five. Like, it's not, we talked about from the beginning, it's not just going to turn right away.
But I'm not talking about Christian. I'm saying Ty needs to work at guard.
Yes.
Right.
If you're going to really
they're not
get
gonna, right, but my point was they're not going to move Ty to guard unless or until they're comfortable that Christian can even remotely play a swing tackle position for them. Because if Christian doesn't develop...
Sure, we've all agreed on that.
Right. So they're not going to move him inside to start playing guard until they feel like Christian's in a spot. And if he's not getting reps at tackle, that's okay because he has 5 years of reps at tackle.
I think more importantly, they have to see that Nsekhe can remotely play guard.
That's
well, they've
I'm
seen
saying.
It. He played there.
What, that one Giants game where everybody like.
Yeah, second half of the Giants game. Then he started off there against Dallas. He started the game there against Dallas, but then he had to flip over when Morgan Moses went out. But just occurred to me, maybe we start the season as is, bye week, Nsekhe gets some work, Nsekhe gets to learn the playbook at guard. Start off week five at guard.
NFL until he was in his 30s, now only needs 1 week at guard to play the position.
Yeah, he's done it before, though. It's not like he's never done it before. He
and
did
pinch,
it last year.
Coaches will tell you they need to teach him the position.
Absolutely. I'll also tell you, as an offensive tackle, your responsibility is to also
Wild.
Know,
it's quite different, though.
It's also your responsibility is also to know what the guard's responsibility as well. So while he's playing right tackle, if he's
I know what Pete's tackle, responsibilities are. It doesn't mean he gets them done.
Yeah,
right. But you know, but you could fill in and do Pete's job.
Oh,
right?
That makes me sad. That was
pretty
so
easily.
So gratuitous.
That wouldn't be a big step down.
It's just killing me.
All right,
that really hurt.
Before we get to the wide receiver battle, something that I noticed today that I wrote down. So Mason Foster didn't practice at all, I don't think. It's certainly not in team drills.
He did in individuals and no team drills.
Okay.
I know that because that's who our mic'd up was today.
Oh, that's a juicy one. But I bet he was cheering people on from the sideline.
He was very cheery.
So, with Mace out, Zach Vigil.
Yeah, I saw some Vigil.
Zach Vigil and Zach Brown. A pair of Zachs out there with the starting defense and 11-on-11 drills, which is interesting on its own. But I think it's even more interesting. So I'm looking at this thing, and we've had the great debate about linebackers last year. We all know they kept 10 linebackers. So, at linebacker, Mason and Zach Brown are definitely making the team. Josh Harvey Clemens is definitely making this team. Vigil is now getting the backup role for Mason Foster. And what's important to note there is you need a guy that can call the plays in the huddle. We know Mason can do it. We know Vigil can do it. He did it last year. Sean Dion Hamilton, who everyone has been quite bullish on, is another guy that projects to be able to call plays in the huddle. Doug Williams has said that. That's the role he had at Alabama before he broke his kneecap, which sounds so intense.
Which, by the way, for those who don't know, I mean, they do get signaled in from the sideline.
Right.
Through the helmet, he just basically has. Now, there's some other adjustment things you have to make, but it's not so overwhelming that a rookie couldn't basically repeat what Greg Minuski's telling him in his helmet.
Sure, I'm not saying I don't expect SDH to do it, but I agree with you that he possibly could. Regardless, where I'm going with this, unless you need to say something, Mitchell.
I was just going to say it's not as simple as just repeating what the coach is saying, because that defensive call is not
right.
4-3 base, you know. There's,
right.
It's not engage 8 calls. Like you right. do on Madden.
That gives you a good start.
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Where we're going with this is we've mentioned 5 guys and we haven't mentioned Martrell Spate.
Yeah.
Well,
that's just kind of how it is.
So, is that starting to take shape? Now,
in 5 days, no. But I think it's. I've said this before. I go back to last year. They needed a starter because of injuries. There was Vigil. There was Spate. Vigil was the guy who started right. the last 3 or 4 games.
I think – I don't even – people are going to scream about jinxes, whatever. Through 5 days, especially if you look at what's happened elsewhere in the NFL, we haven't seen many big injuries – any
right.
big injuries yet. So far, every little nick that comes up, it's like, hey, it should be all right. Hey, it should be all right. And stuff will emerge. So the roster construction is in its extreme infancy. But it's interesting how things are starting to shake out at that linebacker spot, which you can kind of draw fairly direct lines. When we get to wide receiver, you can't draw those fairly direct lines because a lot of people interchange. But the way they run this 4-3 and the way they want their Mike and their Mo, you can kind of draw that direct line.
Yeah. Yeah, but look at this way. You know, as far as Spate, I think, you know, he's a heck of a nice guy. I like him. He's a very good special
right.
teams player. But, you know, you look, you know, okay, in the last 2 years they have signed Zach Brown. They have drafted Josh Harmon Clemens. They drafted Sean Dion Hamilton.
Right.
Hey, somebody's got to go
right.
is what it
right.
boils
yeah.
down to.
All right. Wide receiver time?
That's true.
Sure. Okay. This started because Hoffman and I were arguing on the sideline. We don't even really need to talk. Doxson, Crowder, Richardson, Locks.
Yes.
After that, I kind of think everything's up for grabs.
And it
depends if you're keeping 6 or 7, how it all shakes out.
It could be 5.
Could be 5 because I don't know that anybody has emerged as that much better than anybody else.
Can I say my takeaway from today? I guess I'll just do it now because it ties into this perfectly, is that this may be a risky thing to do, especially the 7-rounder, but I kind of think Trey Quinn is a lock. Because he, like you said and like Jay said today, he's the backup for Crowder, and it's important to have him. Jay said he's got some of the strongest hands he's seen. We know
that is the growing trend, is people saying that.
And Jay talked great about Kevin Hogan.
We know.
Today.
Well,
Jay talked great about everybody.
He didn't talk that great about Kevin Hogan. He just talked enough where people didn't say, oh, wow.
Here's the thing, and this is why I wanted to discuss it. Yes, he's the backup to Jamison Crowder, but since Jamison Crowder's been here, they haven't kept a slot backup guy. Ryan Grant
was the guy.
But
yeah.
He wasn't a slot guy. He was just a smaller wideout that knew the
A guy who role. Could learn all 3 positions
right.
is what he could do.
I'm not sure they have that elsewhere. But here's my thing with Quinn. He needs to be able to do something on specials.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to line up on the outside in an NFL offense. And that guy needs to do something, whether it's punt return.
Yes, maybe.
People can point to the punt return, but his – he had like 15 punt returns at SMU.
That many? I don't
think
it was that many.
It's not a real thing.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, he did it in college. No, he didn't. I don't know that he has the size or the speed to be a gunner for you. Maybe he can still play in coverage in a different role. You have to be convinced that Trey Quinn can start for you as a slot guy in 2019 and you're going to let Crowder walk. Because here's the thing. Davis, Quick are really good special teams players. And they have size and speed in a way that Quinn doesn't. Mo Harris has size and really good hands and runs good routes, but
best
he doesn't have
team.
Speed. But he doesn't have speed. So, if you, Taylor, you're saying five.
Then
who's
you're cutting
your five.
Yeah, you're cutting two useful.
Well,
people.
I don't know. I you know.
Well, I don't
Quinn
think they need
and,
to go five. Did they go five? That,
they didn't
last
year.
Yeah. And they've already cut Robert Davis once coming out of camp.
They would not hesitate to do
Mo
it again.
Mo Harris before.
Might cut Mo Harris 2 years in a row.
Right. Yeah. I find it interesting. If they keep five, they have to keep five active on game day.
I mean, last year, yeah. That's the other thing. That's the thing about
Trey
Quinn.
Active on game day.
No.
If Crowder's healthy.
No.
No.
Probably not.
Because he doesn't give you anything else.
So, you know, then you wonder why you've got him.
Right.
So go on the practice squad.
That's right.
I agree with more with Pete. I wouldn't call him a lock. He's got to show something in those preseason games.
I think he will.
He has to show a special teams role.
But I think it's more important for him to show out on specials than it is for him to pile up second half stats with Kevin Hogan.
One would argue he's not going to pile up second half stats because Kevin Hogan.
Yeah, I mean, he's making grabs out there. Like he's getting open for the quarterback. And what I've noticed,
do that with Colt McCoy, by the way, because if he's the backup slot guy, Crowder goes out.
Yeah,
he'll be able to work with Colt.
But they'll probably go to thirds pretty quick. But whatever. A lot of times he doesn't seem to get open on the original route, the original cut, but he keeps working. And a lot of that works. I don't know, man. It's going to be very interesting. I think he has to show another skill. Otherwise, you get to game day and you've got this guy on your roster, and what are you going to use him for? Unless you think he's going to get out there and push Crowder for snaps or something, which
no.
I don't see happening.
Not this year.
Definitely not.
Like,
or ever, as long as Crowder's on the team.
Right. So, I don't know.
What was the last draft pick that didn't make the team?
Robert Davis last year.
Oh, well. We're talking about a seventh round, the actual last pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I think here's all I'll say. I think we should pump the brakes a tiny bit on the excitement.
How about a whole lot?
Yeah. Pete's got him as a lock. Pete's got him as the fourth wideout.
No, I'm not really pumping my brakes, though. I think he's on the team. I just think he is.
So you have him as the fifth wideout, fourth wideout?
Yeah, I just
who
think...
Do we, who
I think when
who
you're talking
the
about,
five? Who
I think
the
when
five?
You're talking about the back end of those guys, I always had Quinn amongst those who are still fighting, but I don't... Unless something he's just tragically bad in the preseason, I think he's on the team.
Which is possible.
So I think...
You don't think he needs to show something else?
No, I think he... No, I really don't think he needs to have a standout punt return game.
In
I think
5 days, he's shown enough to make the squad?
I'm saying in 5 days, I don't think he needs to – it would be nice if he had that extra skill, but I don't think it's inherently necessary for him to show that punt return skill to make this team. I think he's on it.
Man, I just think you've got to bring something else to the field. Because here's the thing. If they keep Quick and Davis, those guys are special team studs, and they can help your football team on Sundays.
Is Quick really a special team stud?
Yes. I mean, he gets down the field.
Right, he's big and he has the speed.
He's big and
but
he's fast.
You have DBs to do that, too. You have safeties to do that.
Okay, but guess what? A backup wide receiver
has to play
another
specials.
Role.
Yeah.
Harris can return punts. He's actually returned NFL punts,
I believe. They like Robert Davis a lot. They still believe in what he can become down the road as a real outside wideout, too. I mean – that guy's size, strength is all there.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
his combine numbers.
You know,
are crazy.
I don't know if it's him or Quick, but I don't think Quick is a lock by any means.
Quick has
by
looked good
means.
Though in camp. I think
he has. And again,
all
five
four
days.
Of them are like dead even. Oh, it's not dead, but pretty close.
Well, you have Quinn ahead of them.
I thought
all.
Quinn was just a lock.
But in terms of like their skills and stuff, it's each one kind of has their own specialty. I think Quinn being the recent draft pick and a guy that Jay is. Made an effort to get and is important in his backup
made
and Crowder.
Made an effort to get. He was
the very last pick of
the
draft.
The NFL
we heard
draft.
That he wanted to get him earlier, though.
Right, and the front office didn't. They have a pretty good say in who makes the 53-2.
So does Jay.
I just – the roster lock, I think unlocked that.
Yeah.
Let's at least see what he
strong
can do.
Strong possibility, yes. Lock, no.
I don't get caught up in making 53-man rosters every day. I think Quinn makes the team. I want to be clear about that. I think he makes the team. I think they have to keep six wideouts to do it.
What
and
else do you do
inactive
all day?
Inactive on game day.
What else do you do all day?
Besides just
you're not making a 53-man roster.
I feel like that was a shot across the bow a little bit.
At me?
No, at those who make 53-man rosters every day.
Dude, I don't make them every day. I think it's cool for people to do it. I just think it's like it's like the debate we had about Phil Taylor the other day.
Right.
Let's see him get through four games. Same with Byron Marshall. Same with a lot of these guys. Let's see them get through four preseason games. Pete seems quite smug about his.
I'm not Trey smug. Quinn. I'm just
You're
like,
smug is all get out.
Ooh,
that's all
get
out. That's such an old man
that's
phrase.
Peak smug.
You're smug is all get out.
Smug than JP is about some linebacker.
Yeah.
I was right about that one in advance. And routinely
you're
mocked.
Right? After 5 days, you're right about Pete Robertson because just
were,
Jay Gruden
you routinely mocked on
said he was great.
Math, not on the player.
No. Don't make me start pointing at you again, Mitch.
Don't go tell Ryan Kerrigan that Mitch is doubting him.
Start backing up 18-wheelers on me again.
Yeah.
That was never that
I think
happen.
He drove it over you, no backup, though.
You want to go to Allen and then come back, or do you want to keep going?
Let's keep Allen at the end. That's kind of been how we're doing
it. All right. One thing, we'll start with Pete because he's smug.
Well, I need to now because I've used my Trey Quinn, so I need to think of another
Trey
order.
Trey Quinn was one thing.
Yeah.
What was your one thing about
that
Trey?
Trey Quinn's
I'm tying in the Jay Gruden comments from earlier and just that I think he's had a good camp so far, that he was going to be kind of lost.
Stay on your – not kind of. Stay on it. You live on an
he's
island.
He's had a good camp.
Pete Island.
He looks
– You said he's a roster lock.
He looks like him and Alex Smith have really good chemistry. And those one-on-ones, it looks like guys have trouble covering him.
The one-on-ones where there's no safety help, no pass rush, no linebackers.
And he's playing against
backup defensive backs. He has good chemistry with Alex Smith. Has he taken a rep in team drills with Alex Smith?
We had him in the mic'd up stuff. We saw him doing stuff with Alex Smith.
In 11-on-11 team drills.
I mean, I was catching passes from Alex Smith. I don't know what
it was. 2x2 is there.
Okay.
State your claim.
I already did it. Trey Quinn is a roster lock.
There we go.
I like it.
All right. There we go. Mitch?
My one thing I thought it was interesting, like I said, we had Mason Foster mic'd up and got a little more insight into the linebackers as they're doing the drills with the running backs and pass protection, linebackers rushing the passer, and how much they are taking into account this new helmet rule and how much it affects those guys as they're bull rushing and trying to get to the quarterback. Especially the linebackers and the D-line have to – they're consciously having to think about their head placement when in reality they've all been taught low man wins since day one, and part of that is getting down and into those strong rushes, and the coaches are really working with the linebackers and making sure they keep the head up and see what they hit, and it was a part of the helmet rules that I hadn't really thought about myself, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays itself out.
All right, I will go. Quentin Dunbar is having a very good camp. I think it's only a matter of time before he replaces Orlando Scandrick in base 3-4. And
agreed.
I think certainly by week one. I don't know. Maybe we see that week three preseason. He's looking good, and you get why the team kind of was willing to let Breland walk and got the deal done with Dunny on the first day of the offseason. And then my other one, I don't know if you guys noticed this, at the end of the first session of 11-on-11s. I'd never seen this. It was like the offense and the defense on back-to-back plays were equally confused and everything was a mess. Did you notice that? Alex Smith threw the same deep ball down the right sideline
to nobody. Yeah.
Dorian Gray screaming at the secondary. Jay Gruden is clearly pissed off.
I think then
Mike Hilliard wasn't happy.
They went no huddle and they did it again, and Smith threw it to nobody. It like bounced in front of Monte.
Something very clearly was going wrong there. And whatever, that's going to happen. This is the time to work it out. It just something seemed like they were trying to figure out a new personnel package or formation or something, and it just kind of stuck with me because it was – we've all said that Alex has been pretty sharp. I don't know that was – I don't know whose fault that was, but it was bizarre.
We don't often see – sometimes we see Jay go nuts, especially when you get those misformations and missed throws or whatever. Was this – I was off with the linebackers. Was this one of those times? Did Jay really get going?
No. There was never like a screaming.
A little
like that.
Too early on in camp to get that fired up, I guess. What's your one thing, Tandler?
My one thing – well, I was going to make it Chris Thompson – but then I saw things from a different – after he popped through the line a couple of times. Then I got it from a different angle and saw the defenders weren't touching him at all. And then after Maurice Harris made another catch where he jumped up in the air, made a catch,
went
on the ground.
Daily Mo Harris update.
Went on the ground, lost
his helmet.
But that would be 3 or 4 days in a row on Mo Harris.
Yeah.
So,
and you'd love to mention that his helmet comes off.
And that's the guy we all are saying is going to get cut. That just keeps making plays that Taylor notices.
Right. So we'll see. I'm not saying he's going to get cut.
But
I'm not saying he's going to get cut. I'm just saying one of them besides Trey Quinn is going to get cut. We all have our camp guys. Trey's my guy.
I will. So today, a guy I've knocked before, Kevin Hogan, actually had a pretty good day. Threw a nice pass. I think it was to Quinn over on the left sideline. Very accurate. Got it over the defender and in. Threw another few nice passes. Did not mess up a pitch out that I saw.
Okay, good.
I think, and Jay Gruden paid him compliments there, just like you did to Pete Robertson. We'll see what that means.
The difference between that is Craig Hoffman asked Jay if any outside linebackers had been standing out, and Jay interrupted him and said, Pete's been unbelievable.
There? You said besides the four.
Jay had to kind of be like, he's been great. Yeah, he's working hard. The praise for Pete was way different.
I will point out when Kevin Hogan has a bad day today, I'm pointing out that he had a relatively good day.
All right, a couple things before we get to John Allen. I got a message from Christopher Nolan. Listen to this. This is pretty cool.
The director?
Maybe. Hi, JP. Longtime listener from Northern Ireland. I'm coming over from Belfast to watch the Redskins week 3 against the Packers and got tickets to see the Terps the day before. Two questions. As a Maryland alum, where's good on game day for a few pints after the game? And secondly, you haven't announced the game day podcast party yet. How about week 3 so I can say hello and grab a beer with the team? Let's start with one. How cool is it that some dude from Belfast listens to us idiots talking about
That's
football?
That's incredible.
Have you guys ever been to Belfast? It's beautiful.
I want to know, is he a Celtic fan?
Probably. I can tell. I can just feel it.
No Rangers.
No Rangers. Ever. Question one he asked was where to go in College Park for beers. That's a slam dunk, right?
Looney's.
No.
Are you serious?
It's Bentley's, dude.
Bentley's is the spot, but Looney's is great, too.
But if this guy's coming from Ireland, he needs the Maryland experience.
Right. So I told him, I was like, for Maryland, the best bar is Bentley's. It's legendary. But Looney's is much closer to the stadium and fun. Because it's hard to get to Bentley's.
Right. 1A, 1B.
No, it's 1A and 4. Damn.
But if you want to be convenient, you go to 4.
But it's way more convenient.
Bentley's is the way to go. Been thrown out of there many a time.
So because Christopher Nolan – I've been thrown in. I've had, like, multiple fake IDs taken. Like, a lot of my life has happened at R.J. Bentley's.
We have a funny story to tell.
We have an ID story.
This, podcast.
We'll see.
Thank you.
So how about this, Christopher? I got an announcement for you. You want to know about the Week 3 game against the Packers. Well – that's going to be our podcast
tailgate.
We're doing
it. Hello. Doing it right podcast now. Tailgate. 9:23.
Yeah, 9:23 podcast
Let's
tailgate.
Let's go.
So you will absolutely get to see all of us.
Let's go.
I don't drink on game days. It's just too damn long of a day.
Yep.
But we will have beers and food, and we'll be ready to go. So, Chris, we appreciate the note. Here's the other thing I wanted to say. Folks are sending me Facebook messages that want to, like, hang out when you come to camp or get a picture. And I'm all for that. But you got to give me a little bit more time. I don't check Facebook messages nearly that often. And I'll do a better job of looking. But I want to – this dude Jeff Brinkley sent me a note who named his son Jameson Taylor Brinkley, named after Jameson Crowder and Sean Taylor. I just think it's a cool name. But I didn't get to meet you because you sent me a message with, like, 8 hours' notice.
You're getting mad at people not giving you enough notice to do things? Like, you're getting mad at people just – yeah.
I give
Abernathy, who doesn't talk on the podcast, is clapping in the background.
I give you all the notice, Pete. What do I not give you notice for?
Hey, Pete, podcast tomorrow, 12:30. It's
if we do it every Monday at 12:30, you should just know we're doing it.
Could you not do Pete's job?
Yes.
Okay, internal squabbles. Let's keep them
all right,
keep them out.
Couple of Twitter accounts we need to discuss. A Twitter account emerged last night.
Yes.
Oh, let's go.
Providing updates on my ankle.
Finley's ankle.
This dude is incredible.
Everybody tweeting a lot?
No, they're not. They're just, I think, a lot of replies. His last reply was, "It's like you don't even care about me, JP." So follow Finley's ankle. And here's the other good part. Similar to Finley's ankle on Twitter.
It's JP Finley's ankle.
No, but the handle is just Finley's ankle.
The handle is Finley's ankle.
Tandler's Barca Lounger emerged.
Bang. What does that even mean?
At Tandler's Barca 1. And Tandler doesn't like it because it's not Tandler's
Lazy Boy. It's not
Lazy
Boy. I mean, how can
Look
you...
Look at Tandler complaining about somebody making up a fan account.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not complaining
properly.
About that, kinda but, you know, it's got to be, well, called
Scale of 1
the
to
right
10
thing.
Wet blanket right
it
here.
It would be Seven. Much Total better. It would be much better. You know, suppose they said
Maybe
they made J.P. Finley's elbow.
I've had,
you know,
elbow,
had elbow surgery.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right.
Just anywhere on J.P.'s body.
J.P. Finley's ear. Oh, wait, that would be a low blow.
Listen, my point was they got your ankle. They got Tandler's Barca Lounger.
I don't have a Barca Lounger.
Why do they
but
not
ahead.
Have Pete's Doghouse?
Yeah. That actually was taken. It's like some brewery.
Yo,
or something.
No, it's like a hot dog store.
Yeah.
I saw
has four followers.
Yeah.
Probably mean, more useful than Pete.
All right.
Why are you just killing me today?
Yeah.
Kind of going off if we're doing fans, we haven't really seen any additional podcast signs.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm disappointed, but I'm a little salty about it. And also,
Although
if you're.
Somebody said they were going to bring a sign to the podcast party August 4th, Matchbox Short Pump. Be there.
Sponsored by Hardywood.
What's that chart? 7 p.m.?
Yep. 7 p.m. A lot of people are asking me what time. 7 p.m. at Matchbox and Short Pump. It's going to be lit.
Yeah, the end time is not so defined, but it starts at 7.
We'll probably shut down Matchbox and then go wherever we can walk
and
from there.
Probably
I
shut down another
to
bar,
Ashburn,
too.
Ashburn, there was a Bar Louie, like, right down the
God, it's like our
area.
Podcast party 3, but
so
right
at,
in the south.
They got pictures of you up there, Pete.
And at one point does Pete get thrown out of an establishment?
Quick funny story. I'll be quick with it. Speaking of shutting down bars, Pete and I were at a bar the other night. We had to show IDs.
I was home with my family.
You were smarter than us. We had to show IDs to get beers, which was just absurd. And
I mean, it's absurd for you, not for Pete.
No, I went up and got five beers, and to get all five beers, I had to show IDs. Whatever.
All five people had to come up and show their IDs.
We were handing back IDs to everybody, put them all away. No thought process about it at all. The next day, Pete texts me. He's at Walmart buying beer. And hands the woman his photo ID, which happens to be my photo ID. She swipes the ID. She looks at it. She looks at Pete. Still sells Pete the beer. And I realize that we have swapped IDs for the day. And Pete
you
was.
You guys look kind of different.
A little different.
Yeah. I call Mitch and I go, do you have my ID? And he goes, what are you talking about? And then he checks in his wallet and I just hear him start laughing. He's like, oh my God, yes, I do. So we have now swapped back and we are both the real Mitch and Pete again. Thank
well
you,
done.
Walmart, for giving me
Thank
those
you,
natty lights,
Walmart.
Though.
Tandler, anything else, or let's go to John Allen?
I guess go to John Allen.
Sold.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Jonathan Allen, a first-round pick that the Redskins never dreamed they'd get in the 2017 draft. The injury robs you of what looked like a really dominant rookie year. Let's start with the very basics. How are you feeling? How's the foot?
I feel great. I'm 100%. I'm ready to go, and I'm excited to be back out there.
All right. What do you hope for in 2018?
Just to be dominant. Just to dominate and pick up where I left off and honestly go far past what I thought I could do last year.
So you've already got the quote of camp so far when you said we want to be some badasses. What exactly does that mean?
Just to be dominant. I mean, I feel like we can go out there and achieve everything as a defense and as a team we want to achieve, and it's up to us. And that's a great feeling when the ball's in your court. So it's just up to us to see what we do every day, grind every day, how hard we work, and how much we communicate, and how much we put in outside of the football facility and what you do at home. You know, if we do everything I know we can do, there's nothing that's stopping us.
Are guys buying into doing the stuff away from the facility at home?
100%.
How do you know? Are you seeing it? Do you talk about it? I mean, group text?
Well, I mean, well, when we're here, I mean, we're all with each other, so we can all hold each other accountable. And I feel like from the leadership from each group, you know, the D-line all holds the D-line accountable. Linebackers do the same. And the DBs do the same. So as a group, we're all holding each other accountable.
You talked about leadership. You're a second-year player that has only played five games, but you also seem to be emerging as a leader. Is that something you're trying to do this year?
No, not at all. I feel like a leader – I don't feel like you can self-proclaim yourself a leader. You have to go out there and just bust your butt, do what you got to do, and if you emerge as a leader, so be it. But I'm just trying to go out there and work and really just lead by example.
Let's talk about the first-round rookie this year, Daron Payne, who you played with in college at Alabama. What was your reaction when he got selected?
I was excited. I was super excited.
Had you hyped him up for coaches and front office guys?
No, I don't hype no one up. I tell him exactly the truth. So when they asked me about him, I told him exactly what I thought he was. I thought he was a dominant physical player who can play the run and stop and rush the passer, and that's what he can do. So I was excited because I knew what kind of player we were getting, and I knew what kind of mentality we were getting.
How disappointed are you for him to be injured early in camp, in his first camp?
It sucks, but at least he's not missing any games. In the regular season, he'll be back before the regular season. He'll be back before the end of training camp.
And how hard is it for you as a guy that missed time as a rookie that knows you have that Alabama in you? You want to be out there for every snap to tell him, hey, you got to chill right now.
Oh, I know exactly. I mean, it's tough because, I mean, that's my roommate. So I see him every day, and I know how frustrated he gets. But he's working his butt off right now, and he's going to be ready.
All right. Ryan Kerrigan, I asked him a couple days ago, for better or worse, the rush defense was bad last season. Finished dead last in the NFL. What's your reaction when you hear that?
As last year, there's nothing we can do about it now, but we can affect how our rush defense will be in 2018, and that's what we're focusing on.
And so what are the expectations there?
To be dominant, honestly. We're not putting a ceiling on what we expect to do. We're not going to say we want to be top five because we want to be the number one defense in everything, in every statistical category. And honestly, but before you can even focus on what you want, you got to focus on what you have to do to get there, and that's going out here and having a good practice every day.
Let's talk a little specific football. Where's the best place for you to be lined up on the defensive line?
I don't really feel like there's a best place. I feel comfortable playing inside, outside. I feel comfortable doing it all, honestly.
Is there a spot you prefer on a certain down and distance? First and 10, where do you want to be?
I want to be inside. I like to be in the thick of things, right in the middle, taking on the double teams. I love that.
So you're between the center and the guard and tackle. Where are you for fans?
Between guard and tackle.
Okay. And you want to stand those guys up.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Free my linebackers up. Let them make the plays, or I make the plays, whatever the case may be. I just want to win. So whatever it takes to help this team win.
When the team goes into nickel, where do you want to be?
Three, but it's a little bit of a wider three.
Okay. Because you want to be able to get upfield?
Oh, yeah. Got to be able to rush the passer.
I talked to Anthony Lanier. I was like, look, man, if things break right, you could be looking at 7-8 sacks. He says, why not 10?
Why not?
Is there a number for you? Do you have goals like that?
I don't have, like, a total number. I mean, obviously, it's nice to get a sack a game. That's the goal, I guess. But really,
16 would be pretty good.
Yeah, it would be really good. But for me, I'm trying to focus on dominating. And if I dominate, the sacks will come. I'm not worried about the sacks. I'm worried about what I got to do to get the sack, and that's getting off the ball, good hand placement, good get off, and everything. And the sacks will come. I'm not worried about that.
Watching this offense out there on the field with Alex Smith, it looks different than what we've seen the last few years. Are you guys noticing that? It seems to be a lot more movement, a lot more reverse action counter stuff.
Oh, it's deadly. I mean, Alex Smith, he makes our offense deadly, especially now that all of our pieces are starting to get back healthy. It's going to be exciting to see what we can do offensively this year.
And what's it like chasing around Alex Smith?
Sucks. I mean, he's fast. People don't give him enough credit for his athleticism. I think he ran like a 4.5 at the combine. Something crazy. Yeah, it's quick.
All right, let's do a little bit of word association. I'm going to say a name. You just say the first word that comes into your mind. All right? I got to start with your guy, Jim Tomsula.
Leader. Leader, man. Just a great leader. He reminds me of Coach Saban a lot. Honestly, more than any coach I've ever had.
Really? As intense?
Oh, just from his intensity and his ability to lead a group of men and just his ability to teach a certain scheme. I can't explain it.
Let's keep it on the D-line. Matt Ioannidis.
Underrated. I feel like people don't really understand or see how vital he is as a defensive line, but he really is.
Let's go behind you to Zach Brown.
Nasty. He's a nasty player, man. I love linebackers like that. He reminds me of an 86 Bears linebacker.
Let's go across from you, Brandon Scherff.
Athlete. Well, he's athletic, man.
Strong, too.
I mean, he does it all, man. Just ability to run out, screens. I mean, he could do it all.
There's a rookie a lot of guys have been talking about. You might have heard Darius Geist.
Explosive. Very explosive, man. Just his ability to hit the holes after one cut and take a yard. It's impressive.
We'll do this one a little different. Give me the word. How hard is it to tackle Chris Thompson?
It's hard to tackle him because you got to catch him, man. He's shifty. And, I mean, looking at Morgan Moses, 6'8", Sheriff, 6'6", 6'7". How tall is Chris Thompson? 5'8", 5'9".
He gets lost behind
those
guys,
get behind those guys, man. It's hard to see him.
We'll go outside for one. Paul Richardson.
Paul Richardson. Fast, man. He's fast. I mean, just looking at him, you can tell he's about his speed.
So one of the things I noticed, especially with Paul Richardson, is when he signed, the talk is north-south speed.
Yeah.
But how dangerous is it when a guy can go near sideline opposite to the far, and how hard is it for folks to keep up with him?
I feel like that's going to be a question for the DBs because I don't got to cover him, right. But I can assume it's – I mean, I can assume it's hard. I can assume it's very hard.
All right, here's one I never asked. Tressway. How's Tress?
Tressway, man, just a great person.
Do you play the trivia with him?
I don't because he always kicks my butt, so I give it up with him, but he's a great guy.
Last thing, your opportunity to speak direct to Redskins fans, tell them what you want, tell them what you need, whatever you want to say.
Just appreciate the support, man. I know these last couple of years have been rough, getting our hopes up and not being able to succeed, but we appreciate the support. They show up here every camp. So long as I've been a Redskins fan, we've always had support, so I appreciate it. I feel like we have the best fans in the nation.
And we talked about this during the Caps run. You are a DMV hardcore sports fan, correct?
Of course.
Should the Nats trade Bryce Harper?
I don't want to see him go.
What if it's a major package?
I mean, it's a business at the end of the day. You got to do what's best for the Nationals, but I would hate to see him go.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Appreciate your time.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.